Welcome to our act of Christian worship this morning. It's good to see you all. Good to see familiar faces, those joining us. Great to see you. Hope you've had a blessed Easter week. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is still our theme for this morning as we move through this service together. Later, Jill will probably have a lot more information, but later we'll be having a fellowship meal, which is something to look forward to, so I hope you haven't had any breakfast. Actually, I shouldn't say that, should I? Because some people have to have breakfast. But I'm looking forward to it. It'd be a good time to catch up with folk and, just to share in a meal together. I'd like us to just turn to Romans chapter 6 and the first 11 verses, because when we concentrate on the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially when Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished, accomplished," we were dead to sin, but alive in Christ, especially when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that was, in many ways, central to Paul's teaching in the book of Romans. And I'd just like to read those few verses to you. Paul poses the question, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of the sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has now been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Basically, what Paul is saying there was, before Christ died, we were, if you like, trapped in sin. The gospel sets us free, and it's through the resurrection of Christ that we can live a new life, spiritually speaking, and enter into that relationship with God. So we say thanks to God, for he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him, in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. We sing, "Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. Thine be the glory." Let's stand if you're able to.
God.
Please be seated. Let's pray together. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Loving Heavenly Father, we come to church this morning hungry. We are hungry for comfort, hungry for love, hungry for a new way of living. Hungry, Lord, for your living word. We thank you for giving us this place and this time to worship. And we are eager to taste your goodness in community with our brothers and sisters. Bless us, Lord, as we feast on the bread of life today. Be with us, Lord, as we move through this service. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, through the hymns and the songs that we sing, through your word, and, Lord, through the precious time of fellowship. The truth is, Lord, we don't want to leave this place later not having heard from you or been encouraged by you. And so, Lord, bless this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And now Jill's going to come and share with us our church nurses and fellowship news.
Again, a very warm welcome to you all on this beautiful morning, isn't it? Lovely, a bit windy, but beautiful to see the sunshine. So you're very, very welcome, and it's always good to be in the house of the Lord and worship together. And a big thank you again to Pastor Ray for leading us. Just a few notices this week. As deacons, that's church leaders, we'll be meeting tomorrow morning at 10:30, so do continue to pray for wisdom as we look forward. This week on Wednesday, there's still no Hope Corner prayers, but the craft group will be meeting here at 3 o'clock. And the good news is, on Thursday, our Bible study and prayer group is restarting. That's 10:30 a.m, and this session will be at Elsie's house. In Crocusford. If you don't know where it is for any reason, please just ask Ray or myself. We're happy to show you and come with you. But Ray will have some study notes which we'll be giving out later. And again, even if you can't actually make it, you're welcome to take a copy of the notes and follow what we're looking at. But it really is a blessing. It's just a short, informal time of Bible study and a prayer time, and it's just really good together. And so this will be starting on Thursday. Next Sunday, again, we'll be meeting here with Ray leading us, and we'll be sharing communion together. And as Ray said, after this service, we're going to be sharing our Easter buffet meal together in the small hall. We aim to start eating about 12 o'clock. If you're able-bodied at the end of the service, we will need a few of the chairs moving through, obviously. So some nice, strong, strapping young men here. So that would be grateful if you can help us do that. And we hope you'll really enjoy. We're very grateful. Thank you to all who have brought something to share on the table. But if you haven't, that's fine. We just want to share fellowship together, to share the meal, to give thanks to God, and maybe a chance just to get to know each other a bit better as we've got time to sit. So that will be after the service. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Jill. Bless you. Thank you so much. We're going to sing again now the Graham Kendrick song, "For This Purpose Christ Was Revealed." So once again, stand if you're able to, but remain seated if you need to. And was precious to them over the Easter time. I can already see Caroline putting her hand up. So, Caroline, thank you. I love enthusiasm, by the way, you know.
We all have a lot to share every day, if only for God waking us up. Then I'm sharing today because God has given me a new day, a new life, a new year. Today is my birthday. If you all praise God with me and give him thanks on my behalf for all he has done, for all the victory he has won for me, God bless you. Amen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Sister Sally.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't want you to sing.
Not your birthday.
Alone. Anyway, just want to say thank you to the Lord because we are still growing and God has done wonderful things. It's not all the time things that you want and you don't get it, then you're going to cry. But even we've been waking up, come to eat, it's a blessing to us. So we have to say thank you. Anyway, tomorrow is my birthday, so I need happy birthday. So thank you, everybody. God bless you all.
Brenda. It's not your birthday, Brenda, is it?
Hello, I'm Judith, and this is my first time here. And thank you. I do feel there's a wonderful warm welcome here. I belong to Christchurch Barnet, actually, but because my husband is ill with Parkinson's, I can't manage to get up to the 9 o'clock service. So I thought I'd come and join you at 10:30, which is a bit more manageable. I do know a few of you here, and we've just moved into number 80 Manor Road, which is where Pete McCaffrey used to live. So you probably, some of you know him, and you know Elsie, of course. So I just wanted to say that it just seems a lovely community around here, and I just thank God that he got me through a very difficult move, and I'm still standing, and maybe one day I can bring my husband here, we'll see. But just bless you all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Lovely. Thank you all. Happy birthdays, and God's richest blessings to you as you go to Spring Harvest Christian Conference tomorrow, Brenda. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And Jill's going to come now and read our Bible passage today. We're going to look at John chapter 1 this week and the first 14 verses. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, let me... Is that me?
Is that you? It must be you. I think I'm not touching anything. Are we okay? This is the reading from the final chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing that wonderful hymn, "I Stand in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene." So let's stand and sing once again.
Thank you.
suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song should ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Let's pray. Faithful God, we praise you for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Shed his glorious light on all Christians' people, that we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. Merciful God, we pray for people in our troubled world, wherever nations are at war and people are suffering. We pray for true reconciliation. Protect all Christian people in the nation of the world and help them to influence their country for good of all. Father God, we pray for all our families whose homes are disrupted by anger and bitterness and where relationships are breaking up. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, who walked with us on our life's journey, as gladdened the hearts of his friends when they saw him raised from the dead. May the travel alongside all who are struggling with their family's life. Lovely God, comfort the sick and the suffering with your living presence, especially Underhill Baptist Church members. Heal them and strengthen their weak bodies. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing you have bestowed on our life. You have provided us with more than we could imagine. You have surrounded us with people who always look out for us. You have given families and friends who bless every day with kind words and actions. Dear Lord, please protect our spiritual leaders. Paul always asks for the prayers of the church, so we know it must be essential for us to pray for our pastors, deacons, elders, and even the substitutes as well. We pray for them in our church, that you will help them to keep them from the evil one, and to help them to remember to put the armor of God you recommended. Almighty Lord, it is difficult to see people suffer from hunger. We pray for you to give them the hungry daily bread today and end their persistent hunger. Provide their food. Children need to grow and thrive. Pour out your grace on hungry families, especially parents straining to feed their children despite dwindling resources. Father Lord, help our young people to find their faith in the midst of chaos. Give them the desire and the ability to see you, hear you, talk to you, and give thanks to you. We pray that you will draw nearer and nearer to you. Father Lord, thank you for bringing your word to us. Thank you for helping us understand your word. Encouragement that your has brought to us. We pray for a deeper understanding of your Lord. Let your word serve its purpose in our lives and see us the right path in the life of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Denzel. We're going to remain seated now in preparation to hear from God this morning, to hear from his word. And we're going to remain seated and we're going to sing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus." And I want this to be a prayer from our hearts as God reveals new truths from his word this morning. So let's remain seated and sing, "Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus." Amen. May that be a prayer from our hearts this morning. I want to thank those folk that contributed in the sharing earlier on. God is good. Amen. God is good. So thank you, Sally and Caroline and Brenda and our dear sister in Christ. Welcome. Great to have you with us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, you have always been good to us. You guide us and lead us when we are lost, lonely and confused. As we prepare to listen to your word this morning, give us the wisdom to follow all we are taught. Help us to live according to your will. Open our eyes and our ears that we can see and listen and learn from your Son. Grant us the spirit of understanding as we study this passage together. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, a very, very extremely important date in the Christian calendar. A celebration of victory, rejoicing, wonder, and power. And through God's word, we noticed the great discovery that awaited the women that had so lovingly watched the embalming of the body of Jesus by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. When they reached the tomb, it was empty, and the stone had been rolled away. Jesus was alive. You could say hallelujah if you want to. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we noticed that there were witnesses to that particular event. There was a witness of God the Father. There was the witness of Jesus' enemies, which must have been an eye-opener for them. And of course, there were the witnesses of Jesus' friends and family. But we closed God's word last week with a question, if you remember the question. And that question was, what would have happened if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead? What would have happened if there was no resurrection? Well, I suggested a few things just to remind you. If there was no resurrection, all preaching would be in vain. Every sermon delivered would be worthless. All sermon preparation, futile. All preaching, a waste of energy. All listening to sermons, which many of you done for many years, it would have been a waste of time. A waste of time. All the preaching of the past would have had no value. The preaching of the apostles, the preaching of the early church martyrs, the preaching of giants of the faith. Luther's sermons, for instance, that had brought the Reformation would have been worthless. Wesley's sermons that had brought revival to England, worthless. Worthless. Moody's sermons that brought thousands to Christ, worthless. And I'd love to mention the name Dr. Billy Graham. And I know there are folk here in the congregation this morning that actually went to Haringey back in the mid-50s to hear the great preacher and evangelist. So I would state that if Jesus had risen from the dead, all the preaching over the rolling centuries would have been in vain. All the Bible studies would have been in vain. But also, all faith would be in vain. Because I like to remind you this morning that faith saves the soul. Faith saves the soul. Faith in Christ, faith in God, allows us to have a personal relationship with Him. Faith saves the soul. Faith brings peace with God. It accepts the gift of grace. Faith makes prayer powerful. And faith brings peace of mind. So there was no resurrection. no Easter Sunday, then all that what I just shared, preaching, Bible study, faith, the joy we have in our hearts that we know Jesus personally, will be in vain. Will be in vain. This morning, still with the resurrection at the foremost of our minds, we're focusing our attention on the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. Next week, we'll be looking at the final few verses of chapter 21, that's verses 15 to 25, as Jesus reinstates Peter. But this morning, we're going to look at the first 14 verses. And after the events of the crucifixion and resurrection, the disciples return to their former occupation of fishing. This is not necessarily a sign of a return to worldly things, worldly ways, but it's certainly the context for Jesus to underline the reality of his resurrection from the dead. And that's one thing that John in his gospel wanted to remind the readers, the reality of Jesus' resurrection. As we notice in verse 1, the scene shifts to the Sea of Tiberias. We normally refer it to as the Sea of Galilee. And the small band of disciples had started to break up. So John lists the seven who were still together. We see that in verse 2. And the whole story illustrates for us the reality of the resurrection. And as I just mentioned, that must be John's purpose in including it. In the previous chapter, he has spoken about the empty tomb and Jesus appearing in the locked room. But perhaps he thought he hadn't made it crystal clear that he was talking about a real resurrection body. You see, there were at the time many opinions on what might have happened. You probably understand this, can't you? People come out with their own ideas and comments and philosophies. Some people said it could have been a vision. The disciples had a vision. The people had a vision. Maybe even a hallucination. Oh, it's a hallucination. They didn't really see Jesus. It was just, in many ways, an image, a hallucination. It wasn't really Jesus at all, because Jesus was dead, wasn't he? A lot of sarcasm around as well. But John wants to point out that a mere vision or hallucination was hardly likely to have spotted a large shoal of fish on the other side of the boat, or have lit a charcoal fire on the beach. And it certainly, if it was a hallucination or a vision, wouldn't have cooked, offered, and enjoyed the breakfast with them. That was the reality. God's word is truth. God's word never lies. God's word never lets us down. And that's what it says in the word of God. So we notice with hard facts and the tangible evidence of everyday things, the resurrection seemed to be a reality. It wasn't simply the figment of someone's imagination. Now, in our story this morning, Peter wants to stop the group. Stop the group from moping around and dwelling on the past. So he blurts out, which Peter is often good at doing, he blurts out, "I'm going to fish. I'm going to fish." And of course, the response was, "We'll come with you." That's what you would have said, wouldn't it? I would have said that. Peter said, "I'm off to fish." And Pastor Ray says, "I'll come with you. Let's go. Get our fishing nets and let's make a move." But during the night, they caught nothing. It was literally the first light of dawn where we firstly witness Jesus' presence. We see that in verse 4 of our reading. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus was there. His presence was there. And John, in early chapters, relives those moments when Jesus was present. I just mentioned in John chapter 20, in verses 19 to 23, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, his presence came to be amongst the disciples in the locked room. You can read it if you have your Bibles there. It was a locked room. And the disciples were fearful. They were fearful because of the hostility that was around them, of the Jews. But Jesus came amongst them with his presence. And he says, "Peace be with you." He says that in verse, he says that in verse 19. He says it again in verse 21 of John 20. "Peace be with you." Further on in that chapter, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and what does he say to him? "Peace be with you." Because if you're in the presence of God, you can experience his peace and his joy and his hope. I wonder this morning, do you know the presence of Jesus in your life? Do you know the peace and the joy and the hope that he brings? Still now, after all the rolling centuries? I mean, I don't know. I know you as people. I know a lot of you by name. But I don't really know what's going on in your life at the moment. I'm wondering what's going on in your life at the moment. Do you really want that sense of peace and presence that God and Jesus can bring? Maybe you're fearful for some other reason. There are a lot of fearful people out there, fearful of what tomorrow will bring, fearful because they can't pay their bills, fearful because they've been diagnosed with something, fearful because they're having family problems, and it can't seem to get that stability in their life, that peace in their life. But when Jesus comes into your life, when he's an ever presence in your life, there is fullness and joy. And when the disciples saw Jesus in the upper room, and when Thomas experienced Jesus' presence in towards the end of chapter 20, they felt peace and they felt security. And so it was, although they didn't recognize Jesus on the shore, and as soon as they knew it was the Lord, I'm sure their hearts were full of joy. But not only in our stories do we see Jesus' presence on the shore, but also we witness his power in verse 6. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Theologians, commentators, those people that study the Bible over rolling centuries, have differing opinions of this. Some say it was a miracle. Some say it was just a daily occurrence, because apparently in this particular part of Galilee, in this sea, it was quite common to catch a lot of big fish. But I say it was Jesus' power because he saw and he was there and he provided that those fish for them. And this reminds me of God. You know, God can take the tiniest thing and turn it into something beautiful. Have you ever had that situation in your life before where you've given God something, you've handed something over in your life, and you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God not only answered that prayer and blessed you, but he blessed you far more than you could ever have imagined. Our God is good, isn't he? Amen? Our God provides. And that's the final point this morning. Not only Jesus' presence, not only his power, but also his provision. Because he provided the fish, And also, he provided the breakfast for the disciples. And I've experienced over the years God's provision, how God has blessed me, and I know blessed many of the people here in this church, and many a Christian throughout the world. He's blessed us and provided for us. Sometimes we think, where will this turn up? Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you're struggling to put food on the table. And again, concerned about tomorrow. But God provides no more, no less, because God is so good to us. And he provides so much. So when we look to this story, it's a wonderful story, yes, of Jesus' presence, Jesus' power, and his provision. But also, I love those final few verses in John chapter 1 in our reading this morning, because Jesus sat on the beach and had breakfast with his disciples. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I love to delve into scripture. I love to look at stories and just imagine, what would it have been like to be on the beach with Jesus? What were they talking about? Do you ever wonder that? When you're on the fringe of a crowd, when Jesus is teaching in the Gospels, would you have liked to have been there to hear the teaching? And I just wonder, when they had breakfast together, exactly what they were talking about. But I know for sure that Jesus would have reassured them, and he would have empowered them for the future. He would have encouraged them and said, look, hey, you know, don't worry about what the future will bring. I will be with you every step of the way. And last week also, we looked at the Great Commission, when Jesus sent them out with his authority, saying, lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So as we begin a new week here in Barnet or wherever you've come from, let's remember we need to pray for Jesus' constant presence in the center of our lives. We need his power and also his provision as we seek to serve him. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, may we acknowledge daily that you are with us, providing our every need and empowering us to fulfill your every task. Indeed, Father, as we begin this new week, we pray, Lord, that you will be alongside us and help us in all that we face, all that we hear, and all that we see. May you protect us and be with us. Protect our friends and our family and our loved ones. Protect our lives, Lord, against all that the world will throw against us. And help us, Lord, constantly to be faithful. You are a faithful God. May we be faithful back. And may also, Lord, we'll be constant and faithful in prayer. So, Lord, be with us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a lovely Stuart Townend song, Come People of the Risen King. So let's stand if we're able to.
Rejoice, one heart. those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Full or empty hands, find the riches of his grace. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that Christ through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice,
joy and peace and love and hope in your hearts, and the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with you all both now and forevermore. Amen. And we finish with the shared grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.